Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. Well, tonight is part 3 of the Best of January True Dogman Stories compilation videos. I hope you enjoy. Sit back and relax, toast up those buns, and let's get spooky. How many of you love to go camping? How many of you have never been camping, or refuse to go camping, or simply just don't like being outside? Everybody's different when it comes to the outdoors. I've been a pretty avid camper most of my life. The first time I ever went camping, I was 8 years old in Yosemite with my mother and stepfather. We've been to the Sequoias, we've been camping down in Julian, and then, later on, I spent a few years living in southern Florida. We did a camping thing there once too, but it just wasn't the same in all honesty. Which leads to tonight's story. We were camping in Florida. Even though Florida doesn't have any mountains or nothing like that, there's still plenty of woods to go around. My family and I were tent camping over at the Arcadia Peace River campground. This is in southwestern Florida. We were going to be there for just the weekend. My parents had taken that Friday off, and we were going to stay there until Sunday morning and, of course, pack up and head back home. We've been there before. There's a couple other campgrounds in the area, but this is the one that my family liked the most. A lot of people bring their RVs there, but my family are more the old-school tent type of campers. Some people like to do a little fishing. There's a little river out there. There's a swimming pool. There's plenty of places to go adventure off in the woods, and of course, people like to ride their dirt bikes and quads. Me and my older brother would always like to venture off in the woods. Sure, we would spend time in the pool, things of that nature, but we like to just adventure off and get lost on purpose. We never did really truly get lost, but the last time that we went camping there, we almost did. It was after lunchtime, but it was before dinner. My dad said that he was going to be grilling up some burgers and hot dogs and to be back around 6. I don't really recall what we were doing that afternoon. I know the first day that we were there, we spent most of the time in the pool. But on the second day, before dinner, I think we were just exploring the woods. My older brother was 12 at the time and I was 10, so we were both pretty young, but I had a big stick with me, so I felt confident. My brother didn't have anything. He said there's nothing to worry about, but we still explored anyways. I just remembered, the deeper that we went into the woods, the thicker everything became. From the brush, the twigs, the vines, everything. It became so compact we could barely move. We were snapping things on purpose, trying to create some kind of a trail as we went inside deeper into the woods. At least that way, we could just trail our way back by seeing all the damage we had caused. I know after a while, we were pretty deep in the woods at this point. I remember asking my brother, like, hey, should we just turn around so we don't go too deep? And he just said, no, there's so much of this place that we've never even seen before from the last time we've went out camping here. So I just agreed and just followed him deeper into the woods. Eventually, though, I started feeling very wrong. I started feeling like we were in some kind of danger, but I couldn't put my finger on it. Remember, I was a kid. But still, something was off. And I think my brother noticed it too, because I noticed his posture changed as we walked deeper. The weirdest part about it was when everything became eerily silent in the woods. Usually there's rodents and things moving around and stuff like that, but I remember at one particular time that we were walking in there, the only thing I could hear was ourselves. Everything else was dead silent. And that was basically my breaking point as a 10-year-old kid, because let's just face it, we're deep in the woods, everything becomes quiet, I'm starting to get freaked out, and plus, it's hotter than Hades out there. It was so humid, we were dripping with sweat in the shade. I was done, I wanted to get back to our campsite and get something to drink. My brother didn't give me any fuss when I told him I was turning around and getting out of the woods. We started walking back in the direction from whence we came, when the noises started to pick up again, but they weren't the noises that we heard from earlier. Now the new noises that we're hearing were echoing from all around us. It sounded like something big was stepping on branches or twine, snapping them in half. I was getting completely terrified at this point because I had no idea what the heck was in those woods with us. But it wasn't just me. My brother was scared as well. He told me just to keep going and follow our tracks to get out of here. Something is in the woods with us. Usually, that's him trying to mess with me, but that day, he was completely honest, and I knew it. I heard it too. There was something, indeed, following us in the woods, but the noises were coming from all directions, echoing amongst the trees. We had no idea what direction this beast was even in, and that's what made things even more horrifying. Eventually, we heard the growl of something, something grunting. It wasn't anything I've ever heard before, nor my brother. We both spinned around out of complete fright, and that's when we saw it. Behind us, to the right-hand side, I'm guessing maybe 40, 50 feet away. Can't really tell. I was a 10-year-old kid. It wasn't close, but it wasn't too far off either. There was this large black dog just standing there watching us. It gripped the side of one of the bark trees, like it was curious. The weirdest thing about it was, it must have been leaning on the tree or standing upright on its back legs because it was really tall. That, and the eyes were glowing. I swear to you, his eyes were red. I cannot speak for everybody else. I cannot force anyone to believe my story, nor anybody else's for that matter. But I know one thing for certain. I encountered a dogman. I encountered this dogman when I was a teenager with my family camping. This happened back in the late 90s. I was only 16 at the time. I'm born and raised in Little Rock, Arkansas. If you know anything about Arkansas, then you know that they have a lot of mythologies and cryptids themselves. And unfortunately for us, Dogman is one of them. You see, wolves aren't really a main source of canine out here. There's red wolves out here and there's coyotes, but outside of that, that's it. But the only thing that is tall, black, and handsome would have to be Mike Coulter. If not, then it had to be some type of black bear or something like that. But that's not what I saw. I was camping with my family. It was a typical weekend, as it usually is. People from Arkansas, they like the outdoors, and they make it known, too. There's parts of Arkansas that are very rednecky and things like that, where people are hunting and whatnot. It's just part of our culture. I was just hiking in the woods with my younger sister at the time. Like I said, this was in the late 90s. I was an older teenager, and she had just turned 13, so I was dealing with the whole preteen attitude, if you know what I mean. Those of you that have siblings and go through puberty and the whole process of teenageism, it sucks. She was the type of kid that never wanted to go outside. She didn't want to go hiking. She didn't want to go camping. She just wanted to sit on her computer all day and chit-chat with people on AOL and things like that. Realistically, it was a good thing that we went camping. It got us out of the house for some fresh air, for some new scenery, and it gave her something else to do for once. Anyways, my parents had everything set up. We had already had lunch that afternoon, and I told my sister I wanted her to walk with me and explore the area. She denied the proposal at first, but my mom insisted, so she obliged. So all of you that don't know about Arkansas, we got the Ozarks out here, we got some serious forests and landscape out here, we got some areas out here that you just don't want to go to, in all honesty. But it's beautiful, nonetheless. So let's get straight to the point. We were walking on this hiking trail that was on the outskirts of the camping site. There was this wood line that was on the right-hand side that had this dark little opening. You could totally tell it was some man-made trail, and I wanted to go explore it. I remember stopping in my tracks and pointing to it to my sister and telling her, "Hey, check it out." She wasn't interested nonetheless, but either way, she went with me. She couldn't leave my side. When we first approached it was so narrow, there was no way we could walk side by side on this man-made little darkness. So, I went first and she followed behind. She complained about how dark it was and we're probably going to walk through some spider webs and we're going to have spiders in our hair and things like that, and I just told her to shut up. Plain and simple. You're with me, you can't leave my side, mom's rules, shut up.
We kind of had a little argument, but I don't remember everything that was said. But eventually, she did shut up and she just followed me into the woods, regardless of how she felt. A part of me wished I would have listened to her, because none of this would have ever happened. As we were just carrying on the trail, getting deeper and deeper into no man's land on a trail that we had never seen before, I noticed that the temperature had dropped fairly quickly. And Arkansas gets pretty hot during the summertime, so that's telling you that something is wrong. You'd think that my spidey sense would have been alerted, but it really wasn't. Not at that exact moment, at least. However, my spidey sense completely turned on when we heard the howls. That scared the living crap out of me. I know what a coyote sounds like, and there's not too many red wolves in this area anyways, if any. It sounded really close, and that worried me for my sister more than myself. I told my sister not to worry about it, it's just some wild dogs. I told her to turn around, and we started walking back in the direction we came with her now in front. She was pretty spooked, but she was like half my size at the time, so I was basically crawling, telling her to go faster, let's get out of here. Eventually, she picked up the pace when we heard the snapping sounds from our left. A bored little walk ended up turning into a full-on speed walk. I know you might think, why weren't you guys running like bloody hell? Well, you can't. It was so thick and so narrow, and vines and twigs and branches were everywhere in your face, and you didn't want to trip on overgrown roots. So we sped walk. That was the safest and most accurate thing to do at that very moment. At least we thought so, at least. The faster we ran out, the closer this thing seemed like it was getting, as we could hear its heavy breathing getting closer and closer from behind us. I eventually screamed to run, and we said screw it, and we just ran as fast as we could. Thank God we didn't trip on anything else. If so, we would have had a different story tonight. When I was 17, me and my family were camping over at the Cherokee Lakes campground in Missouri. They had a pool, a place where you could go fishing. They had RV hookups as well as tents. It really was a pretty cool facility. They even had some picnic benches out on some of the spots. It was really nice. I remember it was summer break from school. My family wanted to just get away for a little bit. Even though we didn't live terribly far from the campgrounds, I think it was the fact that they just wanted to get towards the outdoors was the whole point. Just to do something out of the norm that they normally don't do. My family owned a small little 24-foot RV. They rarely ever used it. I swear it sat on the side of the house for at least 10 years before they decided to do anything with it as far as camping-wise, and that's when we took it over to that campsite. My family had planned to stay out there for 4 days, Thursday through Sunday to be exact. My dad is a pretty heavy fisherman type of guy. I never really liked it too much, but when he would invite me, I would go sometimes, I remember when I was a teenager. My mom, on the other hand, she could care less. She'd rather just hang out on the lawn chair and read her book. That's basically what she did from what I could remember. I remember I was hanging out with my dad that evening. We were sitting in our lawn chairs sipping on sodas at the edge of the waterline with our fishing poles reeled out. I didn't catch anything that I could remember. Nor did I want to. Whenever we caught anything, it was just flipping around, and every time you tried to grab it, it'd slip out of your hands, blood spraying all over your hands and your shirt and your face. I'd rather not. But I think for the peace and quiet just to spend some quality time with my dad alone was in itself nice. My dad was rarely ever home during a regular work week, so this was special. He was rarely home for dinners, and half the time he was gone before I even woke up to go to school. So you could kind of say that camping and fishing was kind of our thing. I remember we had already eaten dinner. He wanted to fish until the stars came out. We had an early dinner. The sun was starting to set, so the sunset was gorgeous when we had had our dinner. He grabbed the poles, he grabbed the bait, and he ushered for me to help him with the ice chest, and we proceeded over to walk in the direction where the water was. Once we set everything up, we just casted our lines and sat back and relaxed. Don't really recall what time it was when I saw it. It came out of nowhere. It was already starting to get pretty dark out, and the stars were starting to peek through the sky. The moon was an early bird. The moon was showing itself before it had even gotten dark, so go figure. It was pretty silent. Even the neighbors weren't loud at this point. There's just something very relaxing about fishing. I don't know what it is, but it's definitely a relaxation thing for myself, at least. I like it now. And I've been fishing off and on with my father ever since. So there we were. We were just sipping on soda and chowing down on some potato chips. Actually, now that I think back at it, it was one of those kettle jalapeno bags. Those are our favorites. Eventually, I'm not sure how much time had passed, but I had to go to the bathroom. I told my dad I'd be right back, got out of my lawn chair, made a left-hand turn, started walking down the hill towards that pit bathroom. Oh God, how I dreaded those. They were absolutely disgusting. So I handled my business, wrapped things up in the little pit of doom, opened the door and started walking back in the direction where the lawn chairs were at the edge of the water where my dad and I were fishing. At this point, it was pretty much dark outside, but I had my phone on me and yeah, that was that. A couple of minutes had passed and I finally reached the area where we were both sitting, but my dad was gone. The lawn chairs were in place, the poles were laying on the ground, the ice chest was still open on the right-hand side next to his side on the right, but my dad was gone. Just two lawn chairs and all of our equipment still there. I called out to my dad, but I got no reply. The night was quiet. I got a tingle down the back of my spine. My dad just wouldn't take off like that. I know I spent a pretty hot minute in the bathroom, but still, he wouldn't just leave me and leave all his stuff around. Did something happen to my dad? I remember thinking. I didn't freak out about it that much. I wasn't really too concerned, spare the moment. I started walking around and just checking to see if he was just in a nearby area or something. After a couple of minutes of looking, I started walking back in the direction where we had originally set up camp for the whole fishing ordeal at the edge of the water, where all our stuff was at. And that's when I heard the sounds again. But this time, it was much louder. On the right-hand side, there was a ton of trees that were close to the water, but still far off in the distance. That's when I saw these glowing red eyes just staring directly back at me. I barely saw it at first because I wasn't really directly looking in that direction. I was just going to start gathering our things and start bringing it back to the actual campsite where my mom was at. I figured it was already dark anyway, she's probably going to be pissed. But when I saw those eyes, there was no looking away. It was almost memorizing. I've never seen red glowing eyes before on any animal that I've ever seen, in real life or on television. It didn't move a muscle. It didn't make a sound. It was making shuffling sounds in the woods, and that's what made me look in that direction after all. But once I caught eye contact with that thing, whatever it was, I couldn't look away. It was like looking into Pennywise's deadlights or something. I was completely frozen. Whatever it was, had to have been big. Judging by where the eyes were actually located amongst the trees and the brush, that thing was definitely taller than I was. I remember just grabbing the poles and just the ice chest. I left the chairs there and I just hightailed it back to the campsite where Mom was. I was kind of freaked out. I mean, I wasn't freaked out like a horror movie freaked out, but I knew something was wrong and I just wanted to get to my mom. I dropped everything off, talked to my mom about it. I was pretty much out of breath by that time. You know, she told me to calm down, tell her everything that happened, start from the beginning and things like that. And of course, I did just that. She looked at me in shock and confusion. I'm not sure if she truly honestly believed me after all. But then I was asking, where's Dad? Where's Dad? Then she started to look like she was actually starting to believe me after all. Like, here we go. Our kid's saying that they're seeing some monster in the woods with glowing eyes and... But where's my husband? You know, that kind of look. Well, I'm sorry to burst your bubble. Nobody dies in this story. My dad actually came out moments later, walking down the hill, at a nice, normal pace, as if nothing had happened whatsoever. According to him, nothing did. He was actually concerned why I'd left the lawn chairs out by the water. I tried to explain to him that I couldn't find him and the thing that I saw in the brush. Needless to say, my dad was in the male restroom the whole time. This happened to me when I was 15 years old with my brother back in eastern Tennessee. This took place in the early 2000s when my brother and I were in high school. Now as adults, neither one of us live in Tennessee. I was a sophomore in high school at the age of 15, about to turn 16. My brother, on the other hand, was 17, and he was going to be starting his senior year pretty soon. We lived in a small town called Newport in eastern Tennessee. This is going back about 8-9 years, so I'm trying to remember every little detail that I can for this story. So my brother and I were just walking through the woods, as there's really nothing else to do as a teenager in this small town. Sure, there's some places to shop, get some soda, some snacks, things like that. But realistically, we didn't have cars and we didn't have terribly anything to do during the summer. We were always looking for an adventure. I had a bright imagination. Even at the age of 15, my mind would just wander. My older brother, to be in all honesty, was kind of introverted. He didn't really like to be around a lot of people. In fact, that even includes some family members. He's just really a solo type of person. But we've always had a pretty good relationship nonetheless. We'd always try to find something to do when we're bored and sick of playing video games all the time. So this particular time, we were out in the woods just goofing around and just exploring with nothing better to do with our time, like I said. Eventually, we made it to the Pigeon River. There was this huge old-school steel train track that went over the Pigeon River. It was quite creepy looking, even in the daytime. The sun was starting to set, but it was still daylight outside. It was on its way to getting dark, though, and that was our cue that it was probably time to start heading back home. We were going to start walking up the hill towards the road when we heard something in the distance. It was coming somewhere in the direction of the old metal railroad over there right in front of us, about 60 feet or so, maybe more. It sounded like there was some dogs being attacked or something. So we started to walk in that direction, curious to see what the heck was going on. It was weird because the closer that we got to that metal railway, the more disgusting foul odor filled the air. It smelled like death. It smelled like blood. When we started to make our way underneath that metal railway to the other end, I got a tingle down the back of my spine. It was like my mind was telling me to get the hell out of there. But at the same time, I needed to know. My brother shared the same expression as I had. I could tell he was concerned yet frightened at the same time, as was I. Once we got to the other end, that's when we saw it. There was blood everywhere. In the nearby water, all over the grass and dirt, and along the metal wall from underneath. There, lying on the ground lifeless, seemed to be some kind of big coyote. It looked like a massacre, like something was butchered. I remember covering my mouth, trying to prevent myself from puking. My brother just leaned over, grabbing his knees and inhaling deeply. It was horrifying. As we got closer, we could see what kind of damage this thing actually had taken. It was completely ripped open. Its throat was cut, and its stomach was completely gutted out. You could see its organs and intestines just lying on the dirt. Something brutally murdered this dog. Judging by looking at it, it wasn't like a family-friendly dog. It was some kind of coyote, a wild one, and it was pretty big. It looked pretty ruthless. Even in death, you could tell that thing was a killer. So what attacked it? And literally, it must have just gotten attacked because we heard it screaming and barking and yelping and all that moments before we even got over there. There was no one else over there. There was no gunshot. There was no footprints. Nothing. This dog was viciously attacked by someone or something, but there was nobody else there but us. That's when I got goosebumps all over my body. I told my brother, "Let's get the hell out of here and tell somebody." He just nodded his head, and we walked around the crime scene, I guess, and started running up the hill towards the road. As we were running up the hill, right before we got to the road, I turned around just to make sure nothing was following us. And that's when I swore I saw this black silhouetted head thing peeking from around some brush near the metal railway.
I don't know what it was. It was too far down for me to really judge who or what it was, but whatever it was, it had glowing eyes.
About 5 years ago, I was spending the day with my friends over at the water park in Farmington, Missouri. I guess you can call it a town or a small city, whatever you consider a small city or small town. It's located southeast of the state, just about 75 miles or so from St. Louis. We were at the water park for about 3 hours, and I was kind of getting bored. So was one of my other friends. We eventually all agreed that we were kind of over the water park. Maybe we were just getting too old for it. I don't know. This was a few years ago, and we really wanted to go out and do something. So, one of my friends, Charlie, his dad owned a couple of quads, and he would always let us take him out somewhere. So we ended up just ditching the water park at about 1 o'clock. We dried up, grabbed our things, went back to his place. So eventually, we got suited and booted, grabbed the quads, loaded up the truck, and we made our way over to St. Joe State Park. There were some awesome trails in the woods out there that we have been to many times, and it was our favorite place to go. We arrived, parked the truck, unloaded our quads, and we had a great evening. We raced around the open dirt terrains and really just explored the woods and really just had a great time. That place is super awesome. I don't remember exactly what time it was. I know it was after 6 p.m. It was still daylight out, but you could tell it was on its way out. I had an emergency bathroom call, and I had to have my friend hop on the back of my other buddy's quad, because there was three of us, but only two quads at that time, and I told him I had to go take a dump. Embarrassing as it was to write this in the story, it's actually quite important, so I had to add this in the story. I apologize if you have a weak stomach, but I had to take a dookie. I had one of those small little packages of Kleenex in my pocket, as I have pretty bad allergies, so I always keep it with me. As my other buddy transitioned over to the other quad, my buddy Charlie said, "It's getting kind of late anyways. We'll meet you back at the truck." I said, "That's fine. Just give me 10 minutes. They made a U-turn in their quad and started racing down the dirtway in the direction to where we had parked the truck. I turned off my quad, left the keys in the ignition, grabbed my Kleenex out of my pocket, and started unbuttoning my pants, walking into the woods trying to find a good place to squat. About a minute or so goes by and I'm handling my business, when I start hearing these weird sounds echoing in the trees. It literally scared the crap out of me. I hurried up and I started rushing to my quad as quickly as possible because I knew at that point I was no longer alone in those woods. I turned on the ignition. Thank God I left the keys in when I went to the bathroom. As I started to accelerate, leaving that area, that's when I noticed something behind me. I turned around. There was some kind of large black silhouette of some glowing-eyed dog man kind of creature. I have no idea what it was, but it was running out of the woods in my direction. I floored it as fast as I could. I almost fell off, not knowing the true power of my friend's quad. It was so horrifying. I was going, God, 45, maybe even 50, I don't know, but this damn black silhouetted dog beast was chasing me. It was coming for me. This thing chased me for a while. I don't know how it was even keeping up with me, but thank God it wasn't as fast as my quad. Eventually, this creature must have given up and turned around or something, because when I looked back again, it was completely gone. It must have went back into the woods. I guess I wasn't worth the effort. A few weeks ago, me and a couple of my buddies were camping over at the Black Canyon Campground in Santa Fe, New Mexico. We had planned it out probably a week prior to our visit. We like to go camping, it's just kind of our thing. Especially now that pretty much we're not even really working anymore. We went during a work week and there was literally like 10, maybe 15 people there max. It was pretty much half empty, if not more. Once we had arrived, we unloaded all of our equipment, set up the tents, and we started to make lunch. After a few beers later, some snacks and some steaks, we wanted to go on a trail hike.
There's a trail on there called Black Canyon Trailhead, and it's really magnificent. We've been on it a couple of times prior. So we're on this trail. It's a pretty nice trail. Like I said, we've been on it before, so we pretty much know the ins and out of it. We're just enjoying the afternoon. It was about 4, maybe 4:30 at the time. By this time, we were already on our way back towards the campground. I don't know exactly where it happened on the trail, but everything just went silent, and the people that we saw from previous seemed to have disappeared. I didn't think anything of it, and neither did my friends. There's different little trails that people veer off of, and maybe they got ahead of us somehow. We did take a break later on in the trail, and we kind of just goofed around for a bit too, so anything could really have happened. Then, out of nowhere, somewhere far off in the distance, behind us, we heard the screams. We stopped and turned around, frozen in fright. "Holy crap, somebody's been attacked or something," I said. All three of us started running in the direction we swore we heard the screams coming from. That's when we heard the gunshot. At this point, I'm not gonna lie, our running pace slowed quite down. Not only was somebody being attacked or something, or somebody was hurt, but now there's guns involved, and none of us were really even armed other than with some knives that we had on our belts. Probably about a minute or so later, we see this guy running and all frantic in our direction, waving his hands in the air with his gun in his right hand. Normally, you think you would feel pretty threatened by seeing something like this, but when you saw the blood on his shirt, you know that he was the victim. Completely out of breath, about ready to collapse, this guy approaches us, screaming and mumbling, talking about some giant dog that attacked him. His shirt was covered in blood, but the damage was on his back. He had slash marks all over the right shoulder. We grabbed his arms to keep him from collapsing into the dirt as we frantically tried to walk him down the trail as quickly as possible back towards the campsite. And at the same time, one of my friends grabs his cell phone and calls the police for an ambulance to meet us there. The guy was in complete panic mode. He wasn't making any sense when he was trying to communicate with us. All we really got out of it was, "Dogman attack. Giant dog." And that was really it. He was just mumbling and kind of talking to himself, shaking all over his body, the blood still gushing out of his shoulder as we tried to apply pressure with one of my towels to try to keep him from bleeding out too much until the ambulance people got there. Eventually, we got back to the campsite about 5, maybe 10 minutes later, and the ambulance was on its way in. Once the ambulance arrived, we waved him down, and they got the guy boarded up inside the back. That's really all I have for this story. The ambulance people just asked us random questions, but primarily their focus was him, not the story. We spoke to some police officers that also were there, and we told them everything that we could. We told them everything that the guy was saying to us, but we didn't see anything. Needless to say, we packed up our camping stuff and we left back home. That whole situation just felt wrong, and there was no way in hell I was staying there that night. Back in 2006, I had just gotten out of the United States Navy and I was moving up to the Northern California area. I'm born and raised in Fresno. Nothing to be proud of, I know, but I was heading up I-99, heading in the direction back home. Some of my high school friends that still remained in Fresno wanted to get together and go camping as a welcome home present up in Yosemite National Park. Everybody knew my exact exit date and all that good stuff, so they had reserved something for the weekend. From Fresno to Yosemite, it's roughly just a little over 4 hours long to get up there, heading up the 99 to the 140 heading northeast. There was a total of 4 of us that were going on this trip. Myself, Ray, Derek, and Jose. The only issue was Jose. He's a loose cannon. He's one of those guys in high school that was kind of involved with the wrong crowd and was daring to do anything. His whole family were northerners and he was just crazy. That guy would fight anybody. He was crazy in high school. I was just praying to God that he had changed his ways and got a little more mature since the last time that I saw him. After some time, I visited with my family, and then when the weekend came, my friends picked me up. By that time, I was already packed and ready to go. Thank goodness they didn't want to use my car. After that long voyage from Southern California, I was in no mood to drive. It was crazy. Everybody looked completely the same, aside from some new facial hair that none of them had back in the day.
They looked at me and laughed and told me I was too skinny and I needed to get some meat on my bones. Of course, there was Jose in the back. He was the last one to approach me.
"Dang, you been working out, Jose? Or did you just do some time?" I jokingly asked him.
He just smirked and smiled, told me to shut up and give him a hug.
"It's been too long, homie," he said.
I talked nothing more of it, but I could definitely see all the tattoos across his neck and on his arms. I knew things were not for the better. But regardless, I grew up with these guys, so I trust him with everything. So fast forward to the long drive all the way up to Yosemite. It was quite beautiful. I've been there before, camped there several times growing up as a teenager and as a kid with my parents. Yeah, it was wonderful. And thank goodness I didn't have to drive this time. Once we enter, we find the actual area where our spot is. We empty out the truck and we start to set up camp. Now there's four of us and there's two tents. That means each of us had to have a companion. And remembering history, if I'm correct, that guy farts 24/7. I tried to switch persons, but there was just no way in hell, Jose said.
Ray just joked with me all night. "You're lucky. I didn't eat no beans. It's all good. Don't worry."
I didn't believe him. There was no way in hell. I knew I was in trouble that night. So fast forward to the evening time. We got the fire roaring and we're cooking up some great steaks and stuff on the grill. We got about a 24-pack of Coronas and we're just tossing them down like nothing. Primarily that night, we were just reminiscing on the high school days and even as far back as middle school for a couple of us. We talked about girls, we talked about school teachers, activities, things we used to do back in the day during summertime. It was really nice to catch up with my friends. There was a couple others that we also grew up with, but they ended up going their own way and leaving Fresno somewhere else. We don't really talk much outside of Facebook, but that's nonchalant and really doesn't have anything to do with the story at this point. Ah, gosh. I remember we were running out of beer, and that's when Derek pulled out the Patron.
"My man."
You know, in my Denzel Washington voice. He pops open the cork top, and we all take a swig. Whew, boy, does it burn that throat. Yes, indeed, every single time you do it, too. But it's worth it. Eventually, at about 2:15, maybe 2:30 in the morning, it was time to go to sleep. Jose was already passed out in his lawn chair. Derek couldn't even stand properly. I was wobbling and Ray was already asleep in his tent. Eventually, everybody goes into their tents and we all go to sleep. Sometime, in the middle of the night, is when we started hearing these weird growling noises somewhere outside on the property. I was woken up, a little hungover, still half asleep, not knowing what the hell was going on outside. But whatever it was, sounded like it was very close by. But I couldn't tell, was it in front of our tent or their tent next to us? Eventually, I started hearing heavy footsteps in the direction of our neighbor tent. Ray was still passed out. I could not believe that none of this was waking him up. I didn't bother. I did the only thing I could think of at the time, something that my grandfather told me years ago to do if there was ever some type of bear attack. He said, "If you're in the tent, just start barking really loud like a dog and it'll freak it out." So I did. I started barking as loud and as best as I could, not knowing if this thing was going to buy it whatsoever. Luckily it did though, because I heard it trot off into the woods. I slowly unzipped my zipper, not seeing anything in sight. Walking over to my friend's tent, that's when I saw the damage. On the back side of the tent, I could see these large canine-like footprints in the dirt, leading away into the woods. These canine prints were really big. They were actually the size of my tennis shoes, and I'm a size 10. And looking back at the side of my friend's tent is when I saw the large slash marks ripped through the fabric. There was six in total, in threes, parallel going from the right down to the left corner. This thing was going to attack my friends in their tent in their sleep. I remember rushing back to the front, unzipping their tent to see if they were all okay. Jose and Derek were both freaked out, sitting against the opposite end of the tent, staring at the slash marks. They were mumbling, shaking all over, saying something about a dogman creature. This happened last winter in 2019.
I was casually just relaxing in front of my television on my couch wearing pajamas and just eating some ice cream. I was watching season 4 of Supernatural, just enjoying my evening. I have 2 dogs and I live by myself. I have 2 German Shepherd puppies. Well, I wouldn't call them puppies, but one is 3 years old and the other is 2. I live in Madison, Wisconsin, and that's just north of Chicago, Illinois. It was a typical night. Snow was everywhere outside and I planned on going absolutely nowhere. It was just me, my ice cream, Dean, and Sam Winchester. I couldn't have asked for a better night. Sometime after 9 p.m. though, my dogs started acting really weird, both of them. They just kept growling and kept rushing by the back door that led to the backyard. At first I thought they had to go to the bathroom, so I kind of let it be for a few minutes, but they were really acting antsy, awkward in fact. I remember just taking off my throw blanket, putting my ice cream down on the table, standing up, putting my slippers on, and walking to the back door. What does a girl gotta do to get some alone time with Sam and Dean, right? I remember chuckling to myself at that time. I opened the back door casually, and both of them started bolting out, barking and running off into the woods. Now, I have a good piece of property. I don't even have a back fence. Within seconds, the dogs had completely disappeared. It seemed like they were on full attack mode, which was absolutely not like them at all. I was about to walk inside and shut the door behind me and just let them handle their business, when I started hearing the growling noises, like they were being attacked, or they were attacking something else, or someone else. I was frozen in shock, worried for my babies. I stared out into the woods and snow in the pure blackness and couldn't see a thing. Then, all of a sudden, I see both of my dogs running at full speed back in the direction of me and the open back door. They ran past me into the house. Thank goodness they looked okay. Later on, I examined them and they were. But before I shut that door and locked it behind me, I saw this black silhouette of something out there. Something was coming in our direction, slowly, but it didn't want to be seen. Whatever it was big. It was much bigger than my dogs. And it had amber eyes. The eyes were glowing in amber color. I've never seen any animal like this before. Whatever it was definitely spooked my dogs. I'm just so grateful that they got out of there in time. I didn't wait around to figure out what the hell that thing was. I shut the door behind me and deadbolted it. I eventually reached for my gun and just waited in the kitchen for at least 30 minutes. I never did hear anything else. My dogs made no sound the rest of the night. Whatever had happened to them out there completely scared them. I don't know what it was, but I have a pretty good guess it was the Dogman. A couple years back, me and my buddy were fishing on a small little boat in a lake in Middle Tennessee. We would go fishing at least twice a month. It was kind of our thing to catch up because we had separate jobs and lived in different towns at this point, even though we grew up with each other back in high school. He lived up in Nashville and I lived in Franklin, so it wasn't like we were terribly too far apart, but still, we had different lives at this point at our age. It was just a casual Saturday afternoon, something like I mentioned before that we do periodically together. We had an ice chest full of beer and some waters and we were just relaxing, just shooting the shit. We're roughly about 50 to 60 feet away from the left-hand side of the waterline. There was a small little upward hill of brush into some trees. We were just gliding in the water, just relaxing at this point, just sitting back and just talking about whatever. I happened to notice something that was far off by the waterline. It looked like some kind of animal was drinking from the water. It being kind of far away, I thought it was a dog or maybe some kind of coyote at first. It was pitch black and it definitely was full of fur. It was on all fours and it was definitely drinking from the water. I told my friend to look over there, and he just looked kind of puzzled at first. We didn't really think anything of it until it started to back away from the water. That's when it leaned up on its back hind legs, looked at us, turned around, and bolted into the woods behind it. I was in total shock. I couldn't even speak. We thought it was just some coyote or wild dog, but the thing stood up on its back legs and darted off. I've never seen anything like that before, neither has my friend, but we both know the rumors in Tennessee. We know of the Dogman. A few years back, my family and I rented a small little wooden cabin down in southeast Tennessee, Gatlinburg to be in fact, over by the Smoky Mountains. It was a 3-day getaway, and it wasn't any type of holiday. It was just a Friday through Sunday ordeal. Once we had arrived, we emptied all the groceries into the cabin and set up for that evening. I had pre-marinated some ribs earlier that day when we first arrived. I planned on baking some potatoes for sour cream and chives, and of course a side of bacon-wrapped asparagus. That with some pork ribs, it was going to be a good night. The cabin already came equipped with a propane barbecue on the back patio, so all I had to do was turn it on. Later that evening, I was cooking everything up on the grill, just drinking my beer, smoking my Black and Mild, and just relaxing in the moonlight. My wife came outside to give me some company while I was out there alone for the past 20 minutes already. She was just noddingly whispering in my ear how she wanted to break in the cabin later that evening. The kids were inside watching something on cable TV. I remember chuckling and saying, "Hell yeah." I remember I flipped over the ribs and I was just checking everything out inside the grill, when I started hearing these weird cracking noises somewhere off in the distance in the woods behind the back patio. I closed the lid to the barbecue and I just stared into the darkness. My eyes wandered, trying to find any type of movement whatsoever, but at first I couldn't see a thing. Nothing but brush, dirt, and trees. My wife didn't even care. She just says, "I'll see you inside. Let me know when it's ready." When she closed the sliding glass door behind her, I just continued to stare, not even acknowledging what she had told me. I got this weird feeling that we were being watched. I don't know by who or by what, but definitely I felt that weird, eerie feeling in the back of my mind. I was just about to brush it off, grabbing my beer from the side table, when all of a sudden I saw this black silhouette somewhere far off in the distance behind some trees. It looked like it was peeking around some bark. It would run from one tree behind another, and then behind another, getting a little bit closer towards the cabin. It was still far off for me to really tell you exactly what I had seen, but one thing is for certain. Whatever it was, it had red glowing eyes. This happened about a month ago when I was taking the back roads from Palm Springs to Temecula, California. My wife and I wanted to take a little weekend getaway just to get out there and hang out in Palm Springs. On our way back from our weekend getaway, we were making our way south in the small little desert town called Anza on our way to the 79. I remember we made that right-hand turn and we were heading in the direction to get back home. A few more minutes had passed and we were passing that weird little setup on the right-hand side when you're heading west. There's this huge open lot full of hundreds of these rusty-looking sculptures that people make with metal. I mean, you could find anything. Giraffes, snakes, King Kong, Godzilla, biblical stuff, anything and everything you could think of. Huge 6-foot, 8-foot, 10-foot sculptures made out of straight metal. I don't remember what that business is called, but it's out there. Every time we pass by it, it's there. Right after you pass it, I was casually just looking past it on the right-hand side up some hill. On top of that hill, there were some more of those rusty things on the edge of the property. That's when I saw something that was not standing still. There was this large, blackish, brownish, furish beast that was running up the top of the hill, disappearing overhead. The craziest thing about it was, it wasn't always running on all fours. It periodically hopped on its back legs, then back onto all fours. It looked like some type of giant dog, yet it wasn't really a canine altogether. It was really hard to explain, and it all happened so fast. All I know is that we saw some kind of beast out there in the desert. Back when I was in high school, me and my friends would periodically skip school together to go smoke. This is something periodically that we would do quite often. I was always hanging with the wrong crowd, yet I never really got in too much trouble, thank God. There really wasn't too much to do for kids our age, so sometimes we would just get in trouble just to get some kind of excitement. Anyways, so this happened on one of the times that we had ditched school. My buddy parked his car behind some crazy abandoned building that was full of graffiti, and there was just nothing out there but dirt and cacti everywhere. It was a typical day in May, and it was really hot outside. We all tried to find some shade to smoke cigarettes and just relax. Of course, that ended up being harder than we thought. As we were just joking around and smoking our cigarettes, something far off in the distance appeared to us. At first, my friend saw it, and then he pointed it out so we could see. There was this large black figure running across the desert far off in the distance. At first, we thought it was some kind of coyote or wild dog, but then we noticed it was running on its back legs periodically and hopping around some vines, eventually darting off farther off and we couldn't see it anymore. It was the weirdest thing I had ever seen in my life. One of my friends is Navajo descent, and he told me it was either a skinwalker or some kind of dogman. A few years back, me and my best bud were backpacking over in southwestern Oklahoma. One late evening, we were hiking over by the Bison Trail that was right next to the French Lake. We always like to start our hike in the evening, that way most people go home by that time as it starts to get dark. That way, we set up camp wherever we want and we never have to pay a fee. So we steer off the trail and we find a little open area that we could set up our camp for the night. We lay out our sleeping bags, gather some wood to start a small little fire, and get ready to eat dinner. We sat around the fire just enjoying nature and just relaxing under the stars. A couple of more hours had passed by, and we were fast asleep under the moonlight. Sometime later on that evening, early into the early hours of the morning, we were both awoken to the sounds of some kind of howling somewhere off in the distance. We were kind of startled. We were thinking it was just some wolf or coyote or some wild dog. We paid it no mind and eventually fell back asleep. Of course, I could only fall asleep about halfway. My guard was still up because I don't mess with that kind of stuff. I'm not saying I believe in all the myths and legends of Oklahoma, but at the same time, I'm no skeptic either. I swear, right when I was about to actually fall back asleep correctly is when I started hearing the weird movements in the trees amongst us. At first, it sounded like it was kind of far away, but as the minutes went by, it seemed like whatever was making those noises was getting closer to our location. At this point, I started ravaging through my backpack as quickly as possible, looking for my little mini air horn that I always kept with me just in case of some bears or any other type of animal were to come by when we were sleeping. This was the first time that this has ever happened to me, and I wanted to scare whatever it was off. My friend, who was also woken up by the noise, started rolling like a hot dog in his sleeping bag, bumping into me. We both looked behind us, still laying in our sleeping bags, completely frightened. Far off in the distance, about 25, maybe 30 feet away, behind some trees, we saw this weird animal just staring at us. It was a black silhouette, so we couldn't truly tell what it was. At first, we thought it was a park ranger or some person of some sort because it was standing on its back legs. But as we got a better look at it, we could tell it was much bigger than any human being. That, and we noticed the glowing amber eyes. People don't have glowing eyes. Whatever this thing was not human. Shaking at this point, I finally found my air gun and pointed it at the direction of that thing. The black silhouetted beast darted off deeper into the woods, disappearing as soon as I pulled the trigger. Thank God. We laid there by the fire for the remainder of the night, scared to even let the flames die down. We didn't have any weapons on us aside from a machete and a couple of other things, pocket knives and stuff like that. No guns, nothing else. Eventually, the sun broke, we packed up our things, and we got the hell out of there. We've never been back on that trail since.